All right, brothers and sisters, peace. It's Brother Lou, as you all know. So for this, I want to thank you all for coming on this Black Wallace Matter members call. Really quick, what I wanted to say to everyone, so as of lately, we've been having conflict on our Thursday calls, right? Our Thursday calls are our recruitment calls. Those are the calls that we let new people come in. This is where our marketing dollars are going. This is how we get all the new people in. And then we have to basically put our best foot forward to them and let them see that we have things together and at least we're organized and at least we can agree. There's a few times we've been having members come on the Thursday call and then basically causing dissension. So it happens about three or four times last week, or the week before was maybe the third or fourth time. And so I just wanted to make sure, that we are all on the same page. When you come on a Thursday call, the purpose of those calls is to have all the guests understand what the organization is about, not to be bickering, not to be having, arguments and disagreements about the direction of the organization and what the plan is. So specifically, there was a disagreement about something that was in the blueprint, about the direction of the organization. Usually on those calls, I say, hey, listen, a lot of organizations have their direction. A lot of organizations have their plans. We have ours. It's in the blueprint. And I'm going to reiterate what the overall goal is of this organization, what our overall plan is. So that way, when we have our Thursday calls, we are all on the same page. Hold on, let me mute everyone's phone. Okay, so according to the blueprint, what this organization is about, this organization is not about self-enrichment, right? So we are not a group of people sitting here trying to figure out how we can get rich off of the Black community, right? How we can use them to make our own individual families or our individual selves get rich. That's not what this organization is about. This organization is about enriching the collective, right? The Black community does not have an economic base, and we are about building the economic base. The reason why we want to build that economic base is so that we can build these community resource centers. The community resource centers will allow us to actually bring about change in the community, right? Because instead of trying to go out there and convince 42 million Black folks to change their mind, what we will do is we will shape the minds of the babies in the community resource center, right? Now, in addition to the historical and the cultural education those children will receive, they will also learn, computer programming and all these other different types of things that will make them more productive and competitive in the landscape, in the current landscape. Because that is the problem. We do not have scientists and engineers and programmers and technologists and all of these things. We don't have them coming out of our community in abundance, and that's what we need. And it has to be a shift in the culture. Has to be a shift in the thinking. And so we have to make that investment in the children. The way we get to the children through their parents. What do we do for the parents? We provide the parents educational and occupational training. That's like the vocational training, like plumbing, electrician, welding, getting CDLs, driving trucks, whatever it is that we can teach them so they can go out there, make a good living, and then provide a better home environment for the child. Now what happens, the child goes to school, they get an education, they come home, they get love and nurture, they go to the community resource center, they get love and nurture, they're loved and nurtured. That creates a well-rounded, a well-loved child. that's really how we're going to change what's going on in the black community. It's going to take generations, but at least we can build the blueprint. At least we can build the model. How we're going to get there, right? So these things, it's going to be expensive. The only way that I know to build something like that is through business, right? So this is modeling the Jewish community. They're very small, but they are the most wealthiest ethnic group on the planet. They're one, and they're actually the most powerful because they actually manipulate, you know, the United States into doing their bidding in regards to Israel, right? What we have to do is start modeling success. They have their yeshiva schools. They have their own individual ways that they teach their children. That's the same thing that we need to do. What they do, they don't collect tithes like how we do at our churches. The families are members. The families pay membership dues. And then when you grow up and you get old enough and you have your own family and you split off, you pay a membership due as well. That's the base of their money. And then, of course, we all know that they all specialize in business. That's the same thing that we need to do. We need to specialize in business. The problem is, all right, so their culture, inherently, they make money through their business. They have a system already set up to recontribute back to their community to further their culture. We don't have a system like that. So the people, the black folks that we have that are successful within business, there is no system for them to invest large sums of money and then have and perpetuate a prosperous culture of men and women who, you know, grow up, go in business, and then continue the cycle. The black community doesn't have that. So we are going to have to build that system. So the first thing is, I was saying this on the other call when I was talking, when, you know, me and the sister got into it, we need a cash cow. We need a way. So in addition to the membership dues, we need another business that has very juicy margin to fund all of the other different ideas and businesses, and especially to put the politics and stuff. We need to be able to fund this stuff, right? And that's where the shopping portal comes into place. Aside from the dancing and, you know, acting and, you know, all of this other stuff and sports or whatever else it is, what else are black folks number one at? Matter of fact, what are we the number one, like, what's the number one thing we do in this country, in this economy? We spend money. We shop. That's what we do. And we have a lot of money. We have $1.3 or $1.4 trillion. So this organization wants to build a way for when people go shopping at the stores that they already go. I know everyone is like, yo, we need our own stores and we need more black products and we need to do all of this. The reality is we don't have enough black stores and our people don't patronize. It's not even that they won't patronize. The vast majority of the stores that I see, they're not selling what people want. And no one wants to admit that. I don't want to buy wooden necklaces with, you know, things the shape of Africa on it. You know, I want to buy like sleeping bags and socks and stuff like that for my kids. That's what I want to buy. So, you know, I have to go where I can get that kind of stuff. And that's what we will do. We are setting it up where people can continue to shop at the Walmarts and the Amazons and the Targets and all the places where they already shop. And the organization is still able to get a commission for referring the customer. That's going to be our cash cow. I say this like every week. You know, the company that I'm modeling, again, you know, I'm just looking at people who've already been successful. The company that I'm modeling, they did $2 billion, and then another company did the same thing, and they made $200 million. I don't know if we're going to make money like that, but we definitely can make millions of dollars. The great thing about that is we have no inventory. We don't have we have very low overhead. All we have to do is pay the programmers, and then we have to pay some office people to facilitate it. That's about $20,000 a month, $20,000 to $25,000 a month to run the thing, and also for the marketing. which I'm going to do myself, right? That so a $240,000 or $250,000 investment could lead to millions and millions of dollars. The margins are insane because, like I said, we don't have any inventory. We don't have to keep buying anything over and over. From that point, then the next thing we're going to get into, we're going to buy a business. We're not going to create a business from scratch. We're going to buy an existing business, and we're looking at transportation. The reason why, like I said, in the last couple of calls, I've been talking about the different components of an economy. You have the manufacturing part, you have the distribution part, you have the consumption. We are the biggest consumers. We have the consumption part down pat. We need either to get into distribution and manufacturing. So we're going to start with distribution first because if we have transportation companies, we can go and train a bunch of our young men and women to learn to go and start driving these trucks. Once we connect the points, and also transportation is growing like crazy, they need drivers. So we're leaning into a trend. So one of the things that I try to focus on, and the brothers and sisters that speak to me behind the scenes, right, when we have our personal conversations, I'm not into convincing anyone of anything. I don't want to talk to folks. I don't want to convince them about they need to do this, what's right. I want to look at what they're already doing and then piggyback on that. It's a much easier way to get things done. And if you pay attention to our oppressors, that's what they do. Not even the oppressors. Let's look at the Asians and the Arabs. They're not oppressing us, but they're siphoning the money out of our communities. And you know why? Because they're looking at the stuff that we already want. They're putting it in front of us. We're spending our money, and then they're taking the money out of our communities and doing Lord knows what with it. That's the same strategy. That's all we need to do. They never sent out any email. They never made any big proclamation. There was no groups. There was no organization. There was no calls. There was nothing. They just start setting up shop in our communities and start getting the money. And that's what we have to do. The difference is that we have to be fiduciaries. We have to, once we get the money, we have to reinvest it back into those individual communities. We have to. That's the start of the system. Once our people see one blueprint, there's going to be others who are interested, and they're going to be like, well, hey, how can we do this? And we have the blueprint for them. And now, we're trying to do this on a national level, but there's other people who may want to do it in Atlanta, in one neighborhood in Atlanta. There's people who may want to do it in one neighborhood in Philadelphia, in one neighborhood in Oakland or whatever. But as long as we give them the system, show them the blueprint for, hey, listen, this is how you do it, then that's how this thing is going to grow. So once we have all the money that we're generating from this, the benefits to the founding members, there's going to be so many needs and services and things that have to be done. That's how we are going to get our compensation, right? So if they're like, let's say we have a transportation company, or let's say we need someone to do some printing for some stuff, we can be like, hey, listen, sister, go buy a printing company. Go buy a printing company. Go invest in a printing company. Go buy some printing equipment. And then she has built a built-in customer demand. That's how we start supporting our businesses. We don't go and throw people to the wind and be like, yeah, just jump in this business. It's a good idea. No, jump into the business because you got a built-in customer base. And that's how we succeed. So then once we start building all of this money, now we have money to play in politics. This is what the disagreement was with, on the call. So the sister was saying that we need to prioritize politics. Absolutely, 100% I agree. But she was saying that we need to do it now before we get any money. And I'm like, I don't understand how we're going to do that. Like, politics is a big boy's game. And then especially to rally our votes, right? Our votes are controlled by people, by a certain party giving us stuff. That's basically how they're doing it. We don't really sit down and dig into the character and dig into the politics of the individual. We just, who's going to give us stuff? Who's paying us lip service? And then once they pay us lip service, we don't make sure that they deliver on those promises. So that has to change. And the way how that changed, if we have a community resource center in a specific area, and all of these young men and women and mothers and fathers, they're being helped, they're receiving all the help from this community resource center, now we have influence. And so now we can vet our own politicians. And it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, maybe independent. Maybe we need to start putting our own people in there and just sucking the votes away from both parties. Then that way they'll come to us, and then they'll be like, oh, no, listen, we can do this for you. We can do this for you. And then we become a special interest group. And so now they deliver to us specifically. So that's the overall plan for this organization. I see Sister Lola is in the queue, but if there's anyone who is not 100% clear on what this organization is about and what we are doing and where we are trying to go, please jump in the queue. Let me know so we can all be on the same page. Because, like, as I said, on our Thursday calls, on our recruitment calls, we cannot have this dissension anymore. Everyone needs to, I mean, if you're not in agreement, then just wait till one of these calls. I don't understand, you know, what's the bickering on a Thursday call for. So if anyone's unclear, please press *6 and let me know. Hold on for a second. Caller from 510 area code. Your first name, please.
What's going on, Brother Will? This is Langston.
I'm sorry, brother.
This is Langston.
Peace, brother. What's going on, man?
How you doing, man?
All right. So everyone is clear then. Okay, good. Sister Lola. Yes. Hello, Sister Lola.
Hey, Brother Louis. Can you hear me?
Your phone is breaking up, sister. I can hear you now.
Okay. I just want to emphasize that I do fully understand the blueprint, and it's self-explanatory to me. So I don't have any qualms about what it says.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, sister. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. So like I said at the beginning of this call, brother, an hour for tonight. So I am going to turn the floor over to him. Give me a second here. Brother George.
Peace, Brother Lou. Peace, everybody.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I think that was a good opener, really, topic for what I would like to try to do in the short time this evening. We've had a really good series, discussion-wise, and as of our last session, we came up with these characters, traits of character, traits of mentality, and the outcomes of those. And now I want to collaboratively discuss how we're going to integrate these character traits in our process. What we discuss on Tuesdays, we then go out and employ them in our recruitment methods, whether it's the Thursday night calls or whatever other ways that we decide to recruit the type of people we think will be most appropriate for our organization. And I'm always a proponent of self-assessment regarding what we're looking for, because we have to reflect organizationally. We've got to reflect those traits. So that was a great example with regard to dissension on a Thursday night recruitment call. That's not a good look for us as an organization if we're trying to attract. So I'd like to open it up, and hopefully all of you do have access to that last PDF. Excuse me.
We have a few members who who weren't there. So if you could just run down the list, just run down the list of the mentality. So essentially what the brother is saying, what we're doing is we're trying to identify like-minded brothers and sisters. So, I say this all the time on Thursday call to say what we're trying to do is find like-minded brothers and sisters. We are essentially defined. We have defined what like-minded means
right.
over the past right. few, it's been months now since the beginning of the year. So just briefly go over the mentality, right? And so basically what happens is if you identify or you know someone in your circle, in your network that exemplifies these characteristics, these things, then its chances are they may be a good fit for Black Wallets Matter. All right, brother.
Okay. So we broke them down into a couple of different categories. So the first category was traits of character. Right, those traits are intellect, humor, loyalty, integrity, commitment, open-minded, dependable, soulful, resilient, selflessness, and passionate. And at the last session, I forgot who the sister was that brought this up, but we want to turn those into an action, put them in an action phrase. So I didn't get a chance to.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So she emailed me today, but she wasn't. She didn't get in touch. She said she was going to get in touch with you. But, all right.
Yeah. So we're still working on that. Then the traits of mentality. What state of mind? Our mental state. Traits of mentality. Heart of a champion. Being fearless.
Wait. Hold on. I just want to emphasize right that this heart of a champion. This thing is so important. So this is what I was trying to communicate on that Thursday call. Right. We know it's going to be hard. We know what we're trying to do. Right. So Black folks have been trying to do it for 500 years. And we know it's hard. This is our turn to take a whack at it. So you have to have the heart of a champion because you're going to get knocked down. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be all kinds of things. Like, I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. This stuff is wearing me down when, like you guys don't see what I see on this side, like all the people that I speak to, all the, people like, yeah, and they promise and they say all of this. And they don't follow through with some of the things. I have to like kind of let a lot of that stuff like roll off my back. Because like, okay, cool, I understand. And then some of the things is like, well, it's too hard, and maybe we should do this, and maybe we should do that. I'm like, no, you gotta feel like you can win. You have to feel like you have to win, like you can win. And so I just wanted to just put a little emphasis on that idea of having the heart of a champion. And then also the other thing is, because I know a lot of folks, they are winners in their own individual life. They're handling, all kinds of problems, and they're just putting more and more problems on their shoulders to deal with it. And so I just want to commend every one of you, especially if I speak to you or whatever it is, and I know what you're going through, and I know you're still, fighting and progressing, and then you're taking on this additional burden of, with the organization and the things that we're trying to accomplish. So I just wanted to emphasize that. All right, go ahead, Brother George. I'm sorry.
Okay. So having the heart of a champion, being fearless, being teachable, open to new things.
Oh, so on the last call, the sister said that was like redundant.
Yeah, well, open minded and open to new things.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of these did fall into different categories, but we did discuss that. But I think we all still agree to keep them in those categories, unless somebody sees different. The next one was being witty, you know, fast on your feet, able to improvise. Love of self, and that's a huge one in our community. That's why I'm strongly doing the work I'm doing, because that, you know, we have a definite issue about loving ourselves and then loving others who look like us. Strong sense of duty, being unapologetic, being confident, and having selflessness. Okay, then we took those two, and from those, we wanted outcomes of the character, traits of character and traits of mentality. So those outcomes are the following: the shaping of the mind. So as Brother Lou said, creating a resource center, having a place where we can get access to fresh young minds and begin the shaping process early. Who was it that said it's easier to build a man than to repair a broken one? I can't remember who that quote was.
Frederick Douglass.
Yes. Collaborative culture. Another outcome is participative leadership. A lot of times, well, historically, you know, we've been leading with the one leader model, and he leads and everybody follows. So all our hopes are built on this one person. Where participative leadership, everybody carries their weight and has a role to play. Another outcome is supporting our Black community. As Brother Lou mentioned earlier, we really can't do anything without an economic base. And we're great at being, the best thing we do is consume. And so we're supporting really everybody else's economic base and doing nothing to contribute to ours. So those are the outcomes, traits of character, traits of mentality. And all these things come under the identity of Black. Because we're trying to really put some meat to the identity of what is Black and how do we want Black to mean in this organizational construct of Black Wallets Matter. So Brother Lou came up with a really catchy phrase, Black the Remix, which I like.
As a joke, man.
But I like it, brother, because this is our chance. This is our chance. Right. You know, this is our turn. As you said earlier, this is our turn at bat. Right. So.
Right.
So now, we've done some great work, but now, you know, people say knowledge is power, and we always tweak that to say knowledge applied is power. Just having the knowledge and not doing anything with it, it's totally useless. So we've come up with this really great construct, I believe, that we've got to apply now. So from that point, I would like to open up to the floor and start the collaborative process of how do we now systematize this, strategize, integrate, apply. Anybody in the queue?
No, you can let anyone who wants to chime in with what's going on, just press star 6 and hold on.
Well, we got Brother Leonard, it's just the mind.
Brother Leonard.
Absolutely. Greetings, Brother Lou, George. And all,
Brother Leonard,
what's happening? Okay,
yeah, right,
right. And I appreciate Lou, you addressing that concern when we have the recruiting meeting calls on Thursday, and the collective thought is, as you demonstrated, the traits of a character, the traits of mentality, outcomes, and characters. I think when we have these calls, and I'm talking about the members' calls, because apparently, as you mentioned, we all need to be on the same page collectively, no matter where we are in the United States. When we talk about Black Wallets Matter, we need to be saying the same thing. Now, some of us have very strong vocabularies. I'm layman, so I speak in layman terms. But ultimately, everybody would get the same vibe and all of the characteristics that's so important, because there's going to come a time when we're all together collectively, and anybody that sees us will see the love of self.
Yes.
But what I would encourage us to do, just a suggestion, as we have these member meetings, I would take one in each and every one of these, because you said to incorporate. We may do three at a time, and ask our opinions and how we see this, and see how do we speak the same language collectively. But these truly are the traits of a character that we need, the mentality here, and the examples that you have off to the side, and the outcome of characters and the mentality. This has to be almost where we can recite it.
Yeah, I like that example.
Yeah. But, I mean, all of us may not be able to, but we need to be able to speak upon it. If someone outside the group that's considering becoming a member and asked us, what do you mean by participated leadership? Okay, what do you mean by support Black community? We need to be able to answer that, not with our own personal, but with Black Wallets culture. And I think this is what you're basically, what we're basically putting together is Black Wallets Matter culture. And once we all buy into the culture, we will say the same thing, because it is a culture.
You know what? I thought about that today, right? I thought about, because you always say the Armenians, right? And so I'm not around too many Armenians, but I'm thinking about like. So I seen like some weird group of guys. I don't know, maybe they could have been Armenians or whatever it was. I seen like these weird group of people, whatever, at the restaurant today. But they ordered all this food, and then they ate the food in like this communal way.
That's
like,
right.
So they ordered all the stuff, right? All the different stuff, and then nobody was grabbing and like, oh, it's all my. They were just all like, you know. And I noticed other cultures, like, so Spanish cultures, they do that. Asian cultures do
Asians
that.
Asians do it,
right?
That's right.
And, yeah, exactly, right? So I'm like, maybe we need to get back to, like, breaking bread like that. Because, you know, us, we go out to eat. It's, oh, this is my plate over here by mine. I'm wondering if breaking bread that way, in that communal way, if that does something, if that's some type of bonding. Because I don't know what these guys were. You know, they didn't look like red dot Indians. They kind of sort of had like that look or whatever. So maybe they could have been. I don't know.
Yeah, they might have been either Iranian or Armenian. If I was there, I would be able to tell. And one of the ways you tell is they're hairy and they have big noses. Armenians have big noses, because that's what Danny Thomas was. If you notice, he had that big ass nose. He was Armenian. So that's one of the ways that you tell. The Armenians, and they're really strong. But anyway, that's a good point that you bring, and that's part of their cultural collectivity. They understand.
No. It was guys, girls, and kids.
Right.
It looked like two or three families, because they actually they left in like two different minivans. Yeah.
Right.
So I realized that's what we, I would believe that, let's say they saw another Armenian person who was not even like, that wasn't in their family, maybe from a whole other part of Armenia, right? They still would have that same, they probably still have that communal thing, and it's probably a hierarchy, and it's probably a way that you do with the food and all of that, and it's just pervasive throughout the culture. And I'm saying, what do we have? What do we have that's like where I could link up with you you know, you're in Cali, I'm over here on this side, we go to the South. Mm. It's something that we all do, right? But it's really, I don't think there's really anything that we do. And so I think we need to make up something. We need to make up something. So let's say, like, when we have these calls, right, we need to put our mind together and figure out how to break bread virtually. Like, we need to figure out how to bond, like, on this level, something that we could embody, I mean, something we can internalize. I was thinking, I was giving it some thought. I was meditating before, you know, before we have these calls, I kind of, like, wind down, try to meditate, get myself in and think. If we could, I would love for it to be something economic. I would love for it to be something that could be, you know, financially beneficial. If we could do that, that could be beneficial, and then it can become the way. Do you know what I was thinking? Maybe a susu, right? It's not mm-hmm. a big deal. It's not a big deal, but I think that probably would, like, you know, form a bond. So if anyone's on the call and you don't know what a susu is, so let's say there's, like, 10 of us, right? So 10 of us, and we all put in, like, $100 a week. Every week, a different person gets all the money. Every week, everybody gets $1,000. Wow. And just goes around and around and around. So my step-pop, right, he's West Indian, and that's what they used to do. And, you know, he actually used to, right, put in money. Now, my brain, and I don't know if this is because I'm a brainwashed black dude or whatever it is, or maybe it's because I kind of, like, analyze things. I'm like, well, if I'm going to put $100 away every week, I'm like, I might as well just keep the money. But, you know, I think this is kind of a way of being, like, forced state savings. Because if you know you owe it to somebody, you know you got to hold that bond. You know you got to keep that bond. So I was thinking maybe we need to do that. Maybe we need to do a susu. But then bigger than that, though, so the way my brain works is, I don't want people to just get money and then go and buy a stereo, because that's what my step-pops did with one time. The other time, he took us to Disney World. But we need to, like, it needs to be invested in something. So when that money just came, it was for savings, and then it wound up creating you some type of economic windfall. Correct. So if, you know, if yeah, so we got Sister Mai and Sister Rhonda in the queue. But I want to get some feedback from the people on the call, like, who's open to something like that. Like, we need to, like, really bond. And the other thing I want to say, we are not everybody else. And this is sad to say, right, but we are not all the people on the outside. Because I've been having a lot of conversations. We're willing to put our money where our mouth is, and we're willing to build. And it's something special about every single person on this call, where you don't know me and the other people on this call, and yet you've taken a leap of faith, and you've opened yourself up to bond. You're an anomaly amongst black folks, because we know we're kind of guarded about a lot of things until we, like, feel people out. We're like, you know, you guys took a leap of faith maybe based on a call, based on a video, based on a Facebook post. Like, so you guys are ready. You guys are open. So we're going to have to, like, blaze some what was the characteristic? You took it off the list too, Brother George. Trailblazer, okay. Pioneer, something like that, right?
Okay.
We're kind of doing that. So I know we kind of, like, disagreed. I know we kind of disagreed on the week when we said it. But now that I'm thinking about it, we're doing something new. So
that's true.
We're gonna have to start testing stuff. Some stuff may fail because we're trying to do something that has never been done before. Other thing, real quick, and I'm gonna let the other sister go because I know you got to go soon, Brother George. The other thing, and I was mentioning this. The other thing I was thinking, and I was talking with, I got Sister Shauna looking into this. I'm thinking about putting the whole organization in a trust. Put the organization in a trust, and then make the beneficiary the black community, like the whole black community, right? Because our folks, we need an economic base, and in that way, they'll be like, wait a minute, so who owns it? You own it. She owns it. He owns it. Yeah. We all own it. Well, where does the money go? The money goes to all of us. That's what I think we need to do. So I have Sister Shauna looking into that, but I also got a lawyer looking at it because he's like, black community, what is that? So we got to kind of like maybe define, well, it's not maybe, we need to define what it is. But what, but what the plan is, right, the plan to do that. So once the organization is in the trust, the organization will go and find business opportunities, existing businesses. So like we're saying, we want to get into transportation and all these other things. And then what we will do is offer the members partnerships in those businesses, right? And so then what happens is the organization is in partnership with you as an individual. You understand what I'm saying? So now it's not – because, see, the biggest problem, like I'll keep saying, we don't have an economic base. We don't have that culture where we put into a communal pot. Well, guess what? We create the communal pot, and now the communal pot goes out, and it's like, here's a business opportunity. Here's a business opportunity. Like, we were looking at this trucking company. They run lines for Amazon, right? So it was like $2 million, it was like $2 million they want for the company or something like that. So – the organization would get a percentage, and then individuals who are in a position, they would get a percentage. We would invest, and we would actually go and we would buy that company. And now, you know, now this is a way to actually create wealth within for individuals and for the community, the organization. I mean, for the community at large through the organization. So that's the level that I'm thinking on. I'm thinking like way out the box, because if we go and we say, hey, here's an organization who's put in trust for the black community, the PR for that would be out of this world. Like, we would be on BET, we would be on The Root, we would be everywhere. Like, you know, these nosy colonizers, they'll be like, huh, what? They would be like it would be out of this world. And then what we're doing is this, and then we're serving, and then we're serving the people, and we're helping them. And it's like, hey, listen, here's what you do with your money, black folks. You go and you invest in an existing business. That's what you do. And boom, that's the plan. That's the, you know. So I'm trying to look and figure out how to structure it, because I think that's like a stroke of genius right there. Not to put my own horn, but. All right, Brother Leonard, thank you. Yes, all right, we got Sister Mai, a couple of other people in. Hold on. Sister Mai.
Peace, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
So how I think we should implement the mindset and the character traits is first start with ourselves. I think that we need to take a look at that list and, in agreement with Brother Leonard, internalize it, basically memorize it. But I feel like we should, you know, really look hard and long at the list and go by, like, one by one and embody it. It's like whatever character traits you wrote, most of us probably have, you know, at least half, or maybe some have all or most of everything on there. But I really think that we need to work, you know, do self-work, self-improvement, to really embody each one of those so that we are that, right? So we truly embody all of those traits ourselves individually. And when you do that, you're going to attract like what's like you, right? It's like what you put out, you get in, you know, you get back, so to speak.
That's
correct. And then you can more easily identify people who are like that, you know, who are not in the organization yet. But I think that also will help us to bond more, too. That's really being not just like-minded, but embody likeness.
Yes.
And I think that if we, you know, and in terms of how we bond even more so, piggybacking on what Brother Lou said, in terms of like a susu or something, I think that's an excellent idea as well. I think there should be some kind of ground rules. I mean, with that, though, like, maybe you have to be a member for a certain amount of time before, you know, your turn comes up, because I hate to see people get in and, like, I'm a member for 2 months, and then they're, like, they get, you know, $1,000 or whatever it is, and then they drop their membership. Like, there should be some kind of, you know, I don't know, I just think it's a great idea, but I just think the structure of it has to be just kind of really clear. You need to really think through that, and you know, and structure it so that it really will work for everybody. And I know the, you know, the biggest part of it is trust and bonding. So obviously, if somebody comes in like that, it's somebody you know we couldn't trust anyway. But how do you know, right? When people are constantly joining, hopefully that's the goal. They're constantly coming in. We don't know them yet, right? We haven't built up any of that yet. But so that's another part of it in terms of recognizing whether or not they have those the mentality and the character traits to be a founding member. I think as a collective, we need to figure out how do we really determine, you know, if someone has those things or not. So, like, as we do our own self-work and we believe that we embody, like, there should be, I feel like there could be some accountability, and that could be another way of bonding. Like, we could actually do some, you know, exercises where we're, like, testing each other almost, okay? So if this is a, if you're put in this situation, then what do you do? Or I was in this situation, what did I do? Well, you know, if you're being honest with ourselves, well, I really could have been better at that, or I didn't really own up to, you know, I wasn't being who I, you know, should be in that moment with this particular person. So next time, you know what I mean? It's like some type of exercises where we're able to, you know, have, kind of have checks and balances or accountability with one another to help each other in that self-growth process. And finally, one of the character traits that I brought up and Brother Lou did as well last week that I didn't hear you say today was the fact that we need to have a compelling drive to actually want to help the black generation. I mean, the black community. And I didn't hear that on your list today. I don't know if that was if it was reworded somehow to where I didn't understand it, but I think that's a real strong that definitely needs to be one of the things that's on our list. That, you know, we can be these great people individually, but if it's just for us and about us individually, we're not, you know, that's not the goal of the organization. Right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Cool, sister. Got Sister Rhonda. Sister Rhonda?
Yes, peace. Good evening, everyone.
Peace,
I just
Rhonda.
Like to say I agree with Brother Leonard, and I agree with Sister Mai that we should act these things out. This way, that's where the action will come out, whether you know a person has internalized what you're teaching. We could talk all the time and a person will say whatever, but once you get that action going, you'll know where they at. And I'd like to make a comment on what you said, Brother Lou, about the communal thing. And I did see that in the Africans where my daughter goes to get her hair done sometimes. And they actually stopped, the women stopped, and I guess it was dinner time. They had their wooden bowl and their stuff in it, and they would take turns going to the bowl, but a few of them would always eat together like they were bonding together and getting energy together. It was really – so that communal thing, however it's going to go, we have to do something to bond ourselves together.
Yeah.
I agree. That's it.
Okay. All right, and Brother Greg. Peace, brother.
Yeah, I'm right here, Brother Lou. You got me?
Yes, we do.
Okay, how's everybody doing tonight? Brother, is that Brother George we're on the line with also?
Yes,
sir. Peace, brother.
Okay, good. How you doing, my brother?
All right,
hey, yeah, well, I heard you talking about a business entity, I think that was, that you were thinking about doing something a little different. And when I came to Black Wallace Matter, that's what I thought I was getting into, because I want to actually make some money, but I want to help my community also. And there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to do both. Right now, I probably donate about $6,000 a year to my church and about $25 a month to my community. You know, so I was looking at somewhere where I could actually have a direction and some goals that we can actually put our resources together to get something accomplished. One of the things you were talking about with the shopping porter, I don't think there's any reason why we should have to wait to do that. You know, I think we should just take a vote on who wants to bring up however much money it takes to get it done. Right now, how many members do we have?
Brother, the membership fluctuates. We have people in, we have people out. So at when the last complete collective number was 444 right before last holiday. When the holiday came, we lost over the holiday, we lost 189 members. And then,
okay,
you know, we had people come back and, you know, all of that. So I agree. I was actually thinking like you, saying, hey, you know what, maybe we need to just, you know, have the individual. So we actually did take something of a vote like that before. The people who were like, okay, well, we're going to have to pony up multiple thousands, they obviously want a return on their investment, or they actually
Absolutely.
Want equity. Right, so they want equity. So so what Sister Shauna, so this organization is a B Corporation, right, which is a benefit corporation.
Okay.
And, right, so that's it's different from a nonprofit. So we can do business, we can conduct business, but the business has to be done for the stated purpose that we want. But in order to qualify or to get certified as a B Corp, right, you need to have a certain amount of money every month flowing in, flowing out. And so if we were to, so within Black Wallets Matter, so, you know, doing the shopping portal within Black Wallets Matter, we wouldn't be able to have investors, just like a normal corporation, because we couldn't make the disbursement for that. The profits from a B corporation, you have to go towards the stated purpose that you're saying. It can't say, oh, we're going to enrich our investors. The people that usually invest in B corporations, they're called impact investors. So these are people who make investments to see an actual change in their community. Something like filling like philanthropy, like filling a philanthropist. So that's kind of been my hesitation, because it's like, all right, you know what? We would have to set up a traditional corp to do the partnerships and the shares and all of that other stuff. And then as the profits come in, the profits actually don't belong to the Black community. The profits actually belong to the shareholders, which is kind of sort of defeating the purpose of doing the whole thing. Because, again, is that you guys? Is that noise on your end?
It was.
Yeah. Right. And so what happens, again, the Black community, again, doesn't have anything to call its own. It belongs to some other people again. Or, you know, the member, it belongs to whoever are the shareholders. And we really don't need that. So the something new that came across was, for lack of a better word, it's something like a bond. So it would allow people to make the investment, right, and then with a promise of a repayment to buy back the shares at a certain time. So we're just figuring out if we can do that with the current entity that we have, because that will allow us to do what it is that we need to do. Because I am dead serious. We got a lot of problems, but the major problem is we do not have an economic base that belongs to our people, and that's really what needs to happen.
It needs to be
an economic base for our people. And I understand, like you say, you know, you want to make some money and you want to do some things and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
We identify that need. We understand that need as well. But our priority, though, is to build something for future generations so that this is not their – they don't have to have as hard of a fight that we're having.
Okay, so did you have a name for the portal?
No, we didn't have a name for it. It's
okay.
The name isn't important. Getting the programmers, is the important part. Getting the feed. So the programmers are going to be. So the way I want to do it, we need. I have these Russian guys that will do what it needs. So we need a website. we need a website. We need a mobile app. And we need a browser extension. And then we need a feed, We need a feed from the retailers, and so the feed can be about $5,000 a month, but we can get a cheaper feed. And the feed is the thing that's going to give us the discounts, the coupons, and all of that other stuff. And so we need somebody that's on top of that to make sure that the feed comes in every day, make sure it's routed the same way, because basically it just comes in as a bunch of code, and it has, and, you know, and that's a little bit beyond my skill set. And then the reason why we need these Russian guys is, I don't want to talk all crazy because we're recording, but let's just say they have skill. They have skills. And so some of the things that we need to do, you know, some of the things that we need to get done, it's second nature for these guys, but, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to find a programmer who can do it, you know, affordably, you know, and on this side in America. And, you know, those Indian and Pakistani guys, they don't have these types of skills that I'm looking for. I mean, probably some do, but I don't know. So that's what it is. And then we have to keep these guys on the payroll, because this thing is going to change as it grows. You know, I don't know how much you know about technology, but as we keep getting more and more users, right, the bandwidth increases. You know, they got to, you know, the platform has to scale. We have to get in more. We have to get in more things. And I mean, I want to leverage this thing to the point where we have like car insurance in there. You know, we're able to, so this is where like the Russian guys come into play. We'll be able to track everything on such a minute level. They'll be able to let us know how many people, let's say we refer people like the State Farm, and let's say it gets to like 100,000 people. Well, guess what? Now we have power to go and negotiate with them. Like, listen, we got 100,000 people we sent your way. Here's what we want. Boom. That's power.
Right.
The other thing, we need a communication channel for our people. Something happens within our community, we need to be able to shoot a message out and get everybody to move all at once. So something happens, we need to be able to boycott. We need to, and it needs to be a code or something like that, you know, or whatever it is. And it's like, you know, you just send the name, and then that's it. And then they're like, well, what's happening? Why are we losing the money? What's going on? And here's our list of demands. Here's what we want. Maybe your sales will return after this gets done. Lean on them cops over there. Go figure out what's going on. We can't figure it out. You got the power. Go figure it out. Like what happened with the Starbucks thing. I'm just getting sick and tired of all this stuff. I can't even get mad no more. I just see all this stuff. Mad no more. I just want it to stop.
Yeah.
So I got it's this shopping portal. This thing is it's going to serve so many benefits. So if you want to, you know, give me a call and you know, we talk behind the scenes,
okay,
talk about, you know, what needs to be done and what your objectives are and all that. We can figure some things out.
Okay, good. And let's do that. One more thing before I go. You're absolutely right about the way that we need to conduct ourselves on the public calls when we're in the recruitment process. However, when I left that call, when I left that session, I thought it was a pretty good session. I thought you handled it well. Right at the end, I don't think you should have brought it back and continued the discussion. But overall, I thought it was a very great, energetic debate. You know, and no, we don't want to have all the bad language and all the we do need to be on one accord on that particular night.
Here's the thing. That sister, so on a call just like this, that sister contributed one of the most important parts. So you see how we're talking about the definition of black and redefining the black and all of this. We were sitting here saying, should it even be black? Should it be African American? Should it be this? Should
right.
it be that? She
right.
said, by
right.
virtue of the fact that we're here, nobody else ever been in this country, and nobody else ever endured slavery. We are the only people on the whole planet, only people in history. By virtue of that, we can say we're black. So if you're, you know, you got people who are like, nah, I'm not black, I'm this and this. If you are a descendant of what happened here in this country, then that's how we defined it for this organization, and that's how we settled it. That sister gave us that input.
Yeah, she laid it down.
So I wanted to be I wanted to be very, you know, I wanted to give her her shot because, I mean, she's obviously insightful. But what happens is, you know, she's like, and she's on her journey. She's learning. And that's why I said at the beginning when I addressed, I said, listen, sister, I understand you're excited. You're learning. You're getting a lot of, you know, you're getting a lot of new information. But you got to be careful because you're bringing the information directly from somebody else's platform onto our platform. We have our agenda already. You're bringing information from people who they're just talking heads. They're not actually coming up with a plan. They're not trying to actually get something done. And I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but I was like, yo, you got to understand. Mm-hmm. You watching YouTube videos. And everybody, right. one of the things black folks love, we love talking about the problems. We love talking about our problems.
We love talking about our problems, yes.
Yeah, but we're solution-oriented, at least us, the members. We're solution-oriented, and especially on our calls, we have to be action-biased. I spoke with her after that, and I told her, and she still was like, you know, no, I think we're going to do the politics and the business at the same time. I said, well, hey, listen, good luck. I don't think you can do politics without the money.
You get your economic base together. Politics will come in soon.
Yeah.
All right, hey, I'm gonna get off here and let somebody else have the floor. You guys, thanks, guys.
Well, yes. Brother George has to get out of here, and thank you, Brother Greg. And by the way, so sisters and brothers, just to let you know, so Brother Greg, so we got two new Brother Greg, but they both came after these calls, and basically the information that we've been using, that's what I've been using in the marketing. So that's why we're able to get in like these types of brothers and sisters. Sister, my brother George has to go. So please be brief. Hold on for a second. Yes. Hello? Hello, sister?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Peace. I just wanted to put in a plug that I already got your prior permission to do for this Sunday. Change Matters Solutions.
Oh, yes.
A good intro, a good segue talking about solutions. Change Matters is a radio talk show, and we're having our first town hall meeting this Sunday. It's virtual. It's this Sunday, 4 p.m. Pacific time, 6 Central, and 7 to 9 Eastern. And we'll be talking about, we have a panel of 8 to 10 people who will be speaking on the 5 topics: economic, education, generation gap, gentrification, and gun violence. And you can call at that particular time in your time zone to join the conversation, to ask questions of the panelists, and to offer your feedback. And that number is area code 214-586-0658. Again, it's 214-586-0658. Change Matters, offering solutions.
Is it possible to put that out on a member's email?
Brother Lou?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Is that possible to get that information out?
Yeah.
Is that possible to get that information out on a member's email?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Okay. All right, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you. We're going to let Brother George go take care of what he has to take care of, and I have some things I want to take care of as well. So I want to thank everyone for coming to hang out with us tonight, and see you on Thursday. Good night.
Peace, everybody.
Good night.
Peace.
Good night.
Good night, family.